All right.
All right.
Well, we're back. Welcome.
Cold.
Yeah, we had a little bit of cold. Yeah. But we are back. Welcome to the Scholars and Dollars podcast with H&M. We're both in the hot seats today, ready to go over some
stuff. I was just telling my girlfriend, but I'm thankful to be here. There are some people stranded.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be going to Miami. And I'm just so glad I changed my mind. Tennessee was playing Clemson.
Okay.
And in the Orange Bowl. It's pretty corny, but I was going to go Southwest.
Okay. Oh.
That was the plan.
That's where the conversation was.
Look at God. I did not go. So we're here another day to share. Hopefully you had a good holiday break. And as we get ready to go into the school year, we want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that we've been getting in the mail. Mm-hmm. I know Miss M, you've been having a lot of mail coming in your house.
Every day.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah,
every day. Even during the break.
Yep.
I think some things probably were delayed or something with snail mail. But, yeah, there's been some things. And also students have received some things. And I think a student posted the other day, I didn't get permission to share about, I think the Dreamers, Disney Dreamers Academy.
Yeah.
Some people have been getting notified.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that information.
I was happy that, you know, I was getting some information from students that they had been getting accepted. That meant that they were checking their email.
And A&T.
Oh, God. A&T did it. Yep. We got those out.
They did. And some people are upset.
Did they deny people? I didn't have anybody get denied yet.
They waitlisted.
Okay.
People, and I think that's where some of the, like, we waited this long only to be waitlisted.
Yeah. But that's the same thing that we talked about with Clemson.
Clemson, USC.
USC, yeah. They did
some of the bigger
deferred
across the country. Yeah.
And A&T is getting those applications. The numbers are up. The numbers of applications are up. And so that's all things to consider. Also, if you were from out of state, don't want you to get discouraged.
Correct.
But you know, A&T does have to kind of fall in line with those rules in North Carolina where they have to admit a certain amount of in-state students.
Correct.
So it's not, I think they admitted a lot of people out of state last year. Didn't they have a lawsuit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's I think it's like 2 million, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. They didn't have to pay the state because they are receiving those funds. Mm-hmm. Just like what UNC Chapel Hill has to admit 77% or something like that in-state.
Wow.
Yeah. They have to have that of their incoming class. They don't have to admit that amount, but they have to have a balanced incoming class. Right. I believe that's the rule. And A&T admitted a lot of out-of-state students. And so.
And then they also sent out notices for the semifinalists for the Honors College.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and you have to attend the in-person interview. So you had to do a virtual interview.
Right.
And they gave you a list of questions and you had to record it and answer the questions. Now, it's mandatory that you go in February. So, you know, if you have plans for other things.
If you want to go, that's your first choice. You need to go.
If that's your first choice. You're going to have to shift some things around.
Well, that is similar to what some of the other universities do.
Are doing.
I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I know Duke, when I was working there, you had to go to their scholars thing in order to be, you know, in the running for some of the larger scholarships, and that shows
that
commitment.
That out there is mandatory,
right?
Like, there's no rescheduling. There's so just parents, not just for A&T, but you know, for schools, you know, that your children are interested in, and that's also going to show them
your interest. Yeah. So I mean, how much you want to commit to that? You might have had. And I know there are going to be kids that have basketball and different things going on.
Tournaments.
Exactly. So that's good to know. I know that I got some texts from some students that were excited. They had gotten into A&T. I did remind them, don't they have a separate application for scholarships that was due or is coming up?
It's February 1.
Yeah, so they have to do that. So I did tell them, one girl, my girl Molly that was on the show, she wants to go to South Carolina State, but I did tell her to go ahead and do her, you know, that application for those scholarships for A&T. So, but she was excited. I think, you know, I think I was just surprised that it was all happening over break.
All over the break.
So I'll find out more when we get back to school.
Oh, yeah.
But I know that with the acceptance letters come some, just like we talked about, just the language of the acceptance letters has been interesting. particularly you said you had some students who got waitlisted. Mm-hmm. That language is going to look different.
Correct.
Than what people are used to.
Right.
So I haven't seen a lot of denials.
No, and they're not telling them to, you know, like, you know, don't be discouraged. Like, you know, we're going to make our final decisions. But I will tell people to have a backup.
Right. Well, especially if you're out of state, I would say for North Carolina A&T, if you've been waitlisted or you've been deferred to the next, to the larger, you know, to the larger acceptance pool, I'm telling you right now, they do have to admit a certain, and they're going to probably be sticking to that because of the recent lawsuit. So,
right. One parent inboxed me, and I think her child had a 3.2.
Right.
So, you know, they were waitlisted, and she said, you know, that's the only school he applied to. No.
But hopefully they listened to our show, and we told them to apply to at least three.
Yes.
And to five, to ten.
Right. I did message her back. Yeah. And tell her to, just because I know what's going on with A&T. I don't know. I sent her the article, you know, just for her to be mindful. I think they were from Virginia or something.
But we do try to tell students, you know, I had a student who wants to go to Winston-Salem who was working on her stuff. And then I had another student who specifically, I mean, all they want to do, you know, is go to a particular school. I think it's UGA. And I was just telling her, you know, profile is not looking UGA-like. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but parents and students, if students are looking, and that's how we talk about that middle 50%. Yep. If you're looking and you aren't falling in that middle 50%, and you are underneath, like you're in that bottom 25%. So you can still apply. You know, I had a student who was upset because I said, don't apply to A&T. She had a 3.08, I believe.
Right.
She still can. I said, no, please do. But that can't be the only, if you want to go to HBCU, that can't be the only one you apply to, because there's other schools that you'd be a, you know, a solid fit for as well. So, you know, they introduce us to some other things, like Fayetteville State has like the NC Promise. Elizabeth City State has that NC Promise, and that tuition is set just like at UNC Pembroke in Western Carolina. And so I share those things with students, and then we share them with y'all because, you know, if your child's like, oh, I just want to go out of state, and you're in South Carolina or wherever, and you're like, you know, I had some, you know, I'm trying to tell you there's some opportunities to go where you can get that in-state tuition, Savannah State.
Right.
You know, so if you're like, I want to go to A&T, even though it's different, but I definitely want to go to HBCU, but I'm not sure I want to stay in-state, there's some other opportunities out there that you can have.
Because on the flip side of that, chances are, even not saying it's going to happen like this, but being waitlisted, you may or may not get a scholarship. So then now you're thinking about out-of-state fees, and it can get pretty expensive.
Yeah, and North Carolina A&T does not have that NC Promise. So you're paying that out-of-state tuition. Right. And while they were fairly generous with some of their out-of-state scholarship money last year, again, with some of the new regulation, not sure. So definitely consider the other opportunities. You know what kind of school you want to go to. In terms of what the HBCU experience is going to be like, for, and I'm sharing that because I get a lot of messages about that, especially since the Celebration Bowl and Coach Prime and all these different things. Every school has a different personality. You know, all HBCUs are not created equal. They're all very different. They all have, you know, you can, Claflin and South Carolina State share a fence, and you could go on one side and get a different experience. And that doesn't mean one experience is better than the other. Right. It just could be different. So we always recommend that you visit.
Howard.
Howard's going to give you a completely different feel.
And you do have to complete your application on Common App.
Right.
There's no separate. I talked to a student yesterday from another school that her counselor has not filled out. I was like, you should not have left school, you know, without that counselor part. Yeah. And I said, when did you start Common App? You know, September, October. No, you know, so now I don't know if the deadline is January or.
I think it's early January. They need to hop on that with Howard. But they did, Howard did admissions. They did acceptances over the break, too.
Oh, well, then I don't know.
Yeah. So they did some acceptances over the break. One of my students that I've been working with, he did get in. But again, well, you know, that's like the only HBCU he applied to. Really risky decision to do that. But also waiting on some other schools too. But I think it's important for you to, especially those who are listening, who are thinking it's too late, go ahead and hop on. if you want to do the Common Black College app, it's a good opportunity to do that. That is, I think, was a great way for the students that I've been working with to start getting used to filling out applications, even though I had people even fill that out wrong. So, but it did help some students get trained to start checking their email because they had to start working through the portals and stuff like that. Now, it's not for every school and it's not for every student. But if you got a student that's just starting out, not sure, I definitely think it's a good opportunity to start getting some, you know, just some relationships back and forth with those HBCUs because they start with the portal. Because, I mean, I had one put that she was going in spring 23, so we had to go back and change all of that. But that's just, but you had to start. Right. I would not have, I mean, she did that. That was her, one of her first applications she did.
Yeah.
We were able to change it, but that was helping them get used to filling out those applications. I think Winthrop, there's a lot of schools that have done some awards. And so we're going to talk about
awards and
FAFSA.
And
so if you've done your FAFSA, please do your FAFSA. I talked to one of my students who, you know, got an A&T last week. She was all excited, but wants to go to another school. But I said, oh, okay, great. Well, have you done your FAFSA? Oh, I'm not sure. We haven't done that yet. Let me go ask my daddy.
Right.
That's what she, that's what the text said. Well, I mean, you're the one going, you're the one going to school.
That's going to depend on how your award letters look as well. There is, it's going to be a difference. I always believe once you add a school to one, to the to your application, that's going to show a small, a commitment.
Yep.
Because you can select up to 10. Now, parents, I don't know if you know that, but I think that adds to the commitment as well. You may say you want to go to USC or Clemson or Penn State.
Right.
But if you haven't added them.
Right. It's showing them, you know, they're just going to toss out whatever.
Then they're going to, right. Or toss out nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And then you're wondering like, oh, I can't afford it, but have you completed the financial aid forms yet?
So. Right. And then there are scholarships that are associated with the results of those FAFSAs. So.
Correct.
Every school has some sort of scholarship that is going to be centered around need-based.
And they are emailing you to death right now, parents.
Yes.
I'm sure they are.
Yes. Like, so please, please do that FAFSA. If you're confused or not sure how your child should, you know, complete the FAFSA, you can ask us. We don't, that's not like our specialty, but we can kind of help you get a general idea. Or you can talk to a lot of financial aid counselors at the school will answer those questions for you. So they if you're not sure, you know, well, he's been living this place and I've still been claiming him, but I'm not his mom, I'm his aunt. All these different things go into that. And there's some questions that have gotten some students hung up.
But don't wait until the last minute because there's some, you know, we've talked about this before, additional funds.
Right.
Like you said earlier, attached to just simply completing it.
Right. So just complete it. Complete it. It puts you, again, I didn't qualify for any, but I was on a list and I was able to get some more like scholarships because I was on the list and that school was listed in my FAFSA and they saw that I really wanted to go there. And so tossing out $500 to $1,000 was really helpful, you know, just in general. So make sure that you do your FAFSA. I can't say that enough because this is how they get your money.
Yeah. Together. They're not going to, some will initially, I've seen that, you know, just.
Based off your profile.
Yeah, just based off your ACT, SAT scores, GPA, class rank. Your school sometimes, the size of your school, the rigor of your academics. And so they'll toss some things out. And then I'll look at Jordan, I'm like, oh, but I know they can give her more than that. But we didn't add them to, that wasn't like one of her top schools. So, you know, if they only give her 13 a year or, you know, 20 a year. It's just based on what they see on your profile.
And so with some schools we see, you know, if they're just looking at the numbers. So if you have at least a 3.5 and a 21, you might get $1,000. Or if you have at least a 26, or you're going to qualify for the Life Scholarship, that might be an automatic $3,000. And that's just what they're, that's what you're receiving now. So if you haven't done the FAFSA.
And if you do your research early, you can see a lot of that stuff.
Right. You'll know what you are gonna, you should be getting. And then when you don't get it, you can start asking questions.
Correct. Correct.
I think a lot of students struggle. So I had a student who wants to go to USC in the Gamecock Guarantee. First generation. It says specifically, your parent has to graduate from a four-year. You know, that doesn't mean that your mom or dad did not go to a two-year registered nurse program and they're not working as an RN. You better do the things mm-hmm. because you want to make sure you don't miss out. If you fall in that income bracket,
right?
If you are a first generation student, you don't want to miss out on, you know, money,
right?
Because you're not sure. Because a lot of students, I asked one student, she had no idea.
I have that every year. That they don't realize. Well, no, my mom went to Trident Tech.
Mm-hmm. Nope,
you qualify.
Or your mom went and she left,
mm-hmm.
which has happened,
right?
Right. So they, you know, people go to college and it was a 4-year, and mm-hmm. they transferred back to a tech True. School, and they finish, and the child is taken care of, and so they never really had a worry in the world. So they don't feel like they fall into some of these need categories.
Right.
When you know, yes, it's not necessarily that you would need, or you not. In you know, dire straits when it comes to some of the stuff, but
it's
you
another scholarship.
It's another scholarship. So, all right. So let's get into some of this financial aid, because we've talked a little bit about that, and we want to make sure that we have, you know, you guys clear, because Mom Milbauer over here mm-hmm. has gotten some things in.
And I love talking to parents and still, of course, early before 12th grade and also current college students as well, because you got to learn how to read that award letter.
Right.
And it's not going to stay the same every year, even with current college students. Some will stay, but again, you know, I keep saying this, you know, scholarships are available in all grade levels, opportunities,
right.
Things on your campus, even for college students that are returning
Absolutely.
After school, there's departmental.
Right.
You know.
And then there's some scholarships that you've been posting that I've seen that are for students who are already enrolled
mm-hmm.
As freshmen
right.
or already enrolled in college, so that high school students aren't eligible for.
Right. So, you know, everyone's financial aid package or award letter is not a cookie cutter thing. We've seen different versions of them, dozens of versions. So that's what we thought we'd talk about today.
Yeah. So let's get into it. So Jordan, which we've gotten to know well, you know, everyone who follows Pay Scholarship Academy, which you should
mm-hmm.
on Facebook and Instagram, and has listened to her talk to us about the show, mm-hmm. about all the things that she's doing, has gotten a lot in. So one particular school that I think is a private school,
mm-hmm.
We want to look a little bit at how they kind of set the letters up. And so if you have a letter that you've looked at recently, if you've gotten something that says, you know, has kind of distributing their financial aid, you'll see that if you've done Pell Grant, I mean, if you've done the FAFSA and you've gotten some Pell Grant eligibility, mm-hmm. sometimes that shows. And if you've gotten, like if you've completed anything,
mm-hmm.
it'll basically say whether they think you're going to qualify for mm-hmm. any of your state lottery scholarships and those things. But they also don't clearly state that you have a bill a lot of times either.
Right. And parents, most students and parents won't check until they show up to school that week. That's one of the things that really gets to me, that they don't do a follow-up with financial aid until they get there. And then they are lost in that line that we know about.
Right.
Your financial aid.
And so here they mentioned that they have the EFC, so it mm-hmm. must be you've listed
mm-hmm.
on the FAFSA. And it says there's some Pell Grant eligibility, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. some people need to understand that you don't have to have the full Pell Grant
Correct.
To receive like the Meeting Street Scholarship, Correct. Which we talk about, which is $10,000
mm-hmm.
or some of these other scholarships that these schools have. So you have express need. It doesn't have to be the full amount.
Mm-hmm. And parents, especially of military families, most schools have VA reps.
Right.
So there's a lot of, especially if there's deployments or things that they don't have to tax. Do your research early, parents, please. If you're in the military, there's a lot of great resources
right.
that are available for those students.
And they have people designated to
Correct.
Help you with that. So I know people get stumbled up with that.
Mm-hmm.
It lists direct costs and indirect
mm-hmm.
costs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the indirect costs are not on the bill.
Correct.
So to speak. But here it says they need to be budgeted. That includes books and supplies, personal expenses, transportation, and mm-hmm. loan fees.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in there in the right. indirect cost.
Right.
The direct cost of this particular school is $55,000. Mm-hmm. Indirect cost is like saying $4,496. It's very specific.
Very.
And then the cost of attendance is around $59,000. So the tuition that's not room and board is $40,000
just by itself.
By itself.
Right.
And
that's a private school.
That's a private
right.
school. Yeah. And, you know, the state schools going to be less, but private school in-state still is a private school.
Correct.
So you might see, we get questions about like Claflin and South Carolina State, like the difference there in terms of like money and cost. Well, I told one student who was asking me why she only got a certain amount from South Carolina State, but had already received, like was getting more and more. So private schools can have a bit more flexibility.
They do.
With how they distribute funds and throwing it out there and whatnot. But there, it costs more to go there.
It does.
So they'll need more more money for tuition. So you got your required fees. I imagine that's in your technology, maybe?
Probably library.
Yeah. So you got tuition is $40,000. Your required fees is $3,100. And then your typical double is $5,700. Mm-hmm. Then unlimited meal plan is $6,100. Now, that means your total build cost is $55,000.
Right.
Now, so I'm sharing it because I haven't, she's looked at it. I'm, you know, as someone who's trying to break it down and go through it. So you have to live on campus. And a lot of times with some of these schools, you have to have a meal plan. So if you live in certain dorms, you have to have a certain meal plan.
Correct.
So for freshman year, that's something that a lot of people don't think about in terms of, you know, how that works. You do have to have it. Like, you know, people are like, oh, should live with so-and-so.
Yes.
But some of these colleges, that's not an option.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, we're trying to find that out now for one of my USC students. Sister's still on a full ride, but now lives off campus. She's going to live with the sister. I'm not in agreement with that. You know, for her first year, I believe the freshman should stay on campus.
Right.
But they're trying to see if she's still required to have that meal plan as a freshman, because she will be staying with the sister. They were saying something about something was mandatory, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. And see, so with some of the learning communities and certain things, you have to have certain plans. Yeah. So, you know, we're just using this school as an example. So in the scholarships, grants, and loans that they're saying that you could receive, it does include you taking out a subsidized loan of $3,500 and the unsubsidized loan for $2,000. That's the max amount of loans that you could get in a lot of cases. Like, that's like the general amount. That's the general amount of subsidized, unsubsidized loans for undergrads. So that's what they start with typically. You can always, I mean, there's other ways to get more, of course, but there's that. For Girls State, $25,000.
Right. And so, you know, when we go back to the summer when people were excited because the president gave everyone
$100,000.
$100,000, which sounds awesome.
Fantastic.
But you have to divide it by four.
Yes.
And I listened to the kids. I said, how do you think it's applied? Well, the first 2 years are already paid for. They'll just give me the $100,000.
No, that's not how it works.
But if some of the kids are thinking like that, some of the parents were absolutely like that.
And they went and had a good time on that campus. And so you'll probably figure out where it was anyway. So you got that. And then the life scholarship, although she'll qualify for Palmetto.
For Palmetto. So, and for parents and students in our state.
Right.
No one is
giving Palmetto until the end.
Until the end. Yeah. So I did want to say that because a parent did ask me that. She received an award letter for her child, and she said, well, he already met the qualifications. Most of them are just going to award you the minimum, the life.
Right.
Yeah.
And so don't worry about that part, but you think $5,000, $6,700, you know, still when you owe. So then there's a grant coming from the school. Then there's a South Carolina tuition grant. So with South Carolina tuition grant, that's automatic. If you have some Pell eligibility and go to a private school in the state of South Carolina, you will get the South Carolina tuition grant.
Right.
And that varies. And of course, if you receive that, for example, this would also, if Jordan was in an area that had the Meeting Street scholarship, then you still, that would be like Charleston area and PD area and now Barnwell. And is that Willis and Elko is in there? They'll receive that Meeting Street, and then that would be in $10,000 in addition. So, you know, we talk about Meeting Street. I will talk to them about being a sponsor. but it's a good opportunity if you are adding now $10,000 to this total, because I'm going to tell you how much more Ms. N would have to pay for this particular school right now, as of right now.
Right.
And this is just general. So keep in mind that a lot of times with the private schools, so I work with Anderson and just different schools in the state of South Carolina and Brevard and North Carolina and different places, you can call. And if there's more money, so like right now, generally they're saying Jordan would receive a grant. Mm-hmm. That's $1,000 they probably give to every student who meets a certain qualification, $1,000. Right. So Ms. M could call back in March or April and say, well, we're still about X amount of dollars short. We don't want to take out any loans. Is there anything else? And at certain schools, you do have the opportunity to do more. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that you guys know that too. You can, there's some room for leverage, particularly more at those private institutions. So financial aid messages, it does note that you would get be eligible for some of the Pell, and then it says that. So your school should say whether you have, if you've added them and they've gone in there, before they send a letter, they probably want to see that you had them in their Pell, in your FAFSA. And so that's listed here as well. It says your next step, submit reply and pay your enrollment deposit. Yeah.
So, we're not there yet.
So total aid is saying $41,000. Now, mind you, that was including the $5,500 from loans.
Correct. So you have to circle back to that. I tell parents, don't forget about that.
They always add that into the added part. And then it looks like, oh, total aid, $41,000. And it says total bill cost. Of course, we saw that was $55,000. So with that aid and that loan, you still would owe $14,000.
Right.
And so that is a cost that, you know, we believe full rides are possible. So when you're looking at having options for your students, you want to have more than one. Anything you want to share about that? I know y'all have looked at other things.
Yeah, well, and like I said, it's not this the whole purpose of this is not just for our current seniors.
Right.
Just even backing it up and knowing about Girl State and knowing that if you do go to PC, you know, if you're planning ahead and if PC is one of your schools, try to, you know, make sure that you meet the deadlines for applying to Girl State or communicating with your school counselor, because you already know they're going to give you $100,000.
Right. And it's something that you want to do.
Correct. So it's you know what I mean? It's planning ahead is
planning
prepared.
Ahead. Yes. And so tuition and fee schedules is important because, you know, a lot of times you're looking at per semester cost and it's very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
But like I mentioned earlier, if you're living in certain dorms, for example, there was like a housing shortage at most of the universities this year and students had to get in where they fit in. So you might have had to live in a dorm that required a different meal plan. Than you had anticipated.
Right.
And so that shifts your whole housing. They didn't change the cost of your housing just because you lived there. A lot of them just, you were kind of glad to have some place to live. And so whatever is associated with that dorm. So I know at USC we had kids who were living in some of those older house, dorms and had their own rooms. And all of a sudden it was just like, oh, we can do this, but that costs more.
It does.
So keep that in mind too. When you're doing your...
Oh, and I will add this in, since we're on here, for those who are planning to go to USC, USC's RA, they are taking second semester freshmen, I think, and they will no longer just, I think, pay just $1,000. They're paying full...
Yeah, board. So, I mean, if it's not too late, you know, hop in there. If you, you know, don't mind...
That's a scholarship to me.
That's covered now. That covers your room.
Yeah.
That's taking $2,000-$3,000 off this semester.
Absolutely.
So, reach out to Resident. I'm sure Resident's Life, and there to talk about that.
Right.
Before you go back, because I know y'all aren't all back yet. But parents, if you're listening, let somebody know. Remember that you get to pay. You get to take up to a certain number of hours. Mm-hmm. I had some students who didn't know that and dropped below the amount of hours that Like they want to drop a class, then you run into a upper class and it's like, oh, you could just drop it. Well, they don't know how many hours you have.
That's right.
So if you had 14 hours and dropped a 3-hour class, now you've dropped below 12.
You're no longer considered full time.
And you need to have
12
hours to keep some of those scholarships. So before you run and jump into, I don't want to do that. Or, not thinking that your math is 4 hours. Like I had a student who, it's having a really hard time in pre-cal, 4-hour class though. So it's like 3 hours and then an hour to TA, and then they dropped it. And so they dropped below, but they didn't realize that because they only had 15 hours, turned to a whole thing. Then they had to stay in the math class. You know, they still were in that window, but they didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind for those of you who are trying to maintain your scholarships, especially your state scholarships. You got to be a full-time student. your tuition costs, mm-hmm. all that stuff will be affected. So don't run out jumping out of classes just because, unless you have a plan to put another class there. So always talk to right. your advisor with those things. I will say this lastly, because it's really convoluted.
Yep.
I mean, we could talk about these things that we're seeing in terms of tuition and fees and all that. But keep in mind that when you're looking at schools and the cost, that added cost. So if you have travel cost, mm-hmm. you know, when you're thinking mm-hmm. out of state, if you're going out of state and you say you were going to school up in the north, you're going to need a coat. You're going to need to be able to train, you know, mm-hmm. who's coming to get so-and-so when it's time for the breaks. You know, I have a student who, you know, only her parents could only get her home, get her to school. That one plane ticket right. there in August.
Right.
And then that one plane ticket back home right. for the holidays, for Christmas. So Thanksgiving, yeah. she was there. And, you know, of course, a lot of schools have families and stuff, but mm-hmm. that's just something to consider. If you can't do that, but you want your child to be a part of some of those things, how can you navigate that yeah. space? So if you just got enough to get there,
correct.
You know, or you're using everything you got to pay that tuition, that's just one more reason that full rides are important.
Exactly.
You know, get as much as possible. But like I said, just remember that the meal plans are going to cost differently. Your residence halls are going to cost different. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want those rooms. I had my girls at Coastal, one of them in a three to in a room that had two kids in it mm-hmm. for all the years. Mm-hmm. But they had to build something else to make it a 3-person room.
Wow.
So, nope. And then they were basically in the group like, well, who's the third person? Because mm-hmm. And we didn't even know we had 3 people.
Right.
So that means you had 5 people sharing that one shower.
Yeah.
Just because of the housing kind of crisis that they had.
And the listing of fees for schools is not going to be the same.
No.
Everywhere. You're not going to find it in the same place everywhere, you know. So,
yeah, because this school I'm looking at has a homecoming fee and a new student orientation fee.
Yeah, some people because and then some people will just lump it together. Like mm-hmm. PC just said $3,100. That could be.
Right.
They just didn't break it down.
Absolutely. There are
some people who will break it down and you'll get a breakdown, you know, fee, you know, maybe when you show up. But do your research. You know,
absolutely. Early.
You know, if you have your top 3 schools, 5 schools, 10 schools, start doing your research for that bottom. That.
Absolutely. So that's why we say have choices.
Choice.
We want to look at multiple letters and help you kind of decipher that.
Yep.
We'll continue with the letters as we go forward, just so you know, as they're coming in, so you mm-hmm. can know to look for them and what you need to be looking for. But thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome.
I mean, you have there's so much, you know, ask questions. You can follow us on Pace Scholarship Academy.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you register for the fairs.
Yes.
They are coming up January 21st, 28th, March 4th. We will be closing registration soon, and we will not open it again. So, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right.